This Fan Run podcast is brought to you by DraftKings.
Football fans, I'm sure we all love an action-packed, high-scoring NFL game, but the latest no-brainer from DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL, you'll be a winner once single points are scored. New customers who bet just $1 on any team to score can win $100 in free bets. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use promo code FANRUN in all caps. Bet $1 on any team to score and win $100 in free bets. If they score, you score with promo code FANRUN in all caps this week at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. Must be 21 or older and Tennessee only. Restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call or text the Tennessee Red Line, 1-800-889-9789.
All right, and good morning. Welcome into another Wednesday edition of The Blitz, live here from Fan Run Radio, FM 105.7, AM 1340. We're in the White Claw Hard Seltzer Studios this morning. Also, up over at fanrunradio.com, click that live link at the top. That's the live stream powered by our friends over at MyBookie. We also have the free Fan Run Radio app in app stores today. Get that in the Apple stores and Google Play. Download that wherever you get apps from and get the programming 24/7, 12 hours local programming here at Fan Run Radio. Chance Collins, Charlie Collier, GP3, and Ryan. We also got the Periscope up and running if you want to watch and follow along with us, see our smiling faces this morning. That's at Fox Sports Knox on Facebook and Twitter. Everything's okay. And someone come in here and say today, everything's okay. Tough loss last night. That's obviously the main story for us. Tough loss on the basketball side of things. Before we get into it, go around the room, see how everybody's doing. GP3, how are you?
I'm doing pretty good. Other than, the Vols basketball team, I had a pretty good day yesterday.
Pretty good day.
Yeah.
Ryan, how are you?
Yeah, I'm doing all right. It was just one of those. The day was kind of a little druggy. The hot sauce made my stomach in turns for a little bit for a while.
How bad were you? Till what time?
Dude, it was about like 4 p.m.
Yeah.
When I could finally like get some food in my system, or at least I had an appetite.
Just
to force food down.
Stomach and knots.
Mm-hmm. And then, just
that
not a lot of...
capsaicin.
Exactly.
Do it to you.
Like, not a lot of good sports either. So just one of those days where I just kind of wrote it out on the couch. But, hey, it's nice to have a good recovery day.
Hey, good for you. Charlie, how are you?
Just sad.
You guys are going to have to buck up. That's one damn game.
Bad game.
One disappointing game. Yeah, it was bad. It took you back to the time when Tennessee played Georgetown. Remember that? That was early.
Yes.
Wasn't the Rick Barnes tenure. And it was like a 40-42 game.
That was pre-Rick Barnes.
Like 39-38. That was 2012, wasn't it?
That was Konza? Maybe even.
No, that was Donnie. Was it Donnie Tindall?
It was pre-Donnie. Sure? I feel like that was.
Let's look it up. Before we just speculate and throw out years, let's look it up. I thought that was one of Barnes' early years.
I was in like,
but it might have been Konzo's
middle
year.
School tops there. I remember someone was watching me that night. I got to eat pizza with my brother while my parents went out for dinner.
You say so middle school like, tops, man, you're young.
So it was like that age. I think it was
Konzo.
I'm gonna look it up. You guys gotta buck up. You're gonna make me sad.
Yeah, it was in 2012.
Okay, so that was Konzo then.
Oh, so I was 13. Okay, so I wasn't that young. Or maybe 12.
Last year, Rick Barnes got here in 2014. It was just the 1 year of Johnny Tindall, right?
Yeah. And then
everything
went to hell.
So that was,
Hey,
was
guess the
37 to 36. Is that what that score was?
Guess the two leading scorers from that game, one from either team.
Well, I know Fulkerson led us with 10.
I'm talking about Georgetown and Tennessee.
Kevin Punter.
No, that was too early.
I don't know.
McCray?
Trey Golden with 8 points.
Trey Golden, point guard who transferred to Georgia Tech afterwards.
What about our leading rebounder was Jarnell Stokes.
Yeah, I was going to guess Stokes.
And Trey Golden also led the team in assists. We had 18 points in the first half, 18 points in the second half in that game.
Yep, 37-36.
At least they're consistent.
The leading scorer for Georgetown in that game was Otto Porter. Josh Richardson on the night went 1-for-4. Scotty McBee, 3-for-8.
Right,
Jordan McRae, 3-for-10.
Oh. That was one of the saddest games in Tennessee basketball history. And last night wasn't much better.
Last night was worse, maybe.
I don't know about that.
You shot.
I think last night was worse because of the expectations.
That 9-minute stretch was
Yeah, but like,
last night you shot a much worse percentage.
We can say that. Like, yeah, the 9-minute stretch, yeah, that was awful. We've seen Tennessee teams do that in recent years too. Yeah. Like the
I don't not to that degree.
Yeah,
not,
we have.
No, I don't think so.
We've seen them go in big time scoring droughts under Barnes. We have definitely seen
but
that.
But I think both teams kind of adds to it. The fact that neither team scored a field goal for like 9.5 minutes.
It was definitely not an entertaining game. It was tough. The Vols struggled. We'll just jump right into it. The Vols struggled with the length. They definitely struggled with the length. Kennedy Chandler couldn't get to the basket.
Well,
Texas Tech came in. They had a good plan. Like, I mean, they eliminated penetration from the guards. They knew Kennedy Chandler was going to try to, you know, break them down and get to the basket, get some people open, find his shot, and he couldn't do it all night. And then I would say the long wings, they altered Tennessee's game plan.
But I don't think they did, though. A lot of the game plan now is to shoot threes.
Yeah.
And we shot 40 of them and made six. I mean, it's just – and two of them were in garbage time where it didn't even matter.
6 for 40.
Well, some of them did matter. The one – I mean, Vescovi was, over 6 and hits the big one.
I'm talking about late in overtime when the score was out of reach. And
only
those
one didn't matter.
Yeah.
And it was the last one.
No, Vescovi
did hit that clutch.
The one Chandler hit, too, the game was out of reach by that point, too.
No.
No, it wasn't.
No, it wasn't. Especially not at all.
Especially with the way they were shooting free throws, yeah, absolutely.
That was a big-time three from him. I thought that, like, hey, they're still in it. I wanted him to pull up the possession before when he had a little bit of space.
Yeah, yeah, the problem was the next possession he took way too long of an amount of time, and that's, you know, something that I expect. I guess, you know, as a freshman, that's a mistake that maybe you make early in the season, but I hold him to a higher expectation. I feel like he should know.
No, I would say you're probably right. This loss probably stings a little bit more, and the way the game – played itself out, it's things a little bit more, because there are high expectations for this team. I mean, you think you're coming in, you're playing, and Texas Tech was unranked, right?
Yeah.
Well,
not saying they deserve to be.
The AP voters this time of year are lazy.
Yeah, they haven't watched the
games.
And
terrible.
Yeah, they're lazy.
They're lazy and terrible, and they really need a reshuffling of who's allowed to vote, because there are people that – I mean, just don't deserve votes.
Don't watch the games, just pick the blue bloods and, you know, are just looking at box scores.
I mean, every week, I forget who it is, it might be Andy Katz, breaks down the AP poll just to make fun of certain AP voters that are like, well, this guy had this ranking after this happened, so he clearly didn't even watch this game, you know, like...
just looking at rankings and scores and
like
scores.
Yeah, like
they're not really
the
doing any type of analysis.
Doesn't I mean isn't always like the best indicator of who's generally it is, but you know, Texas Tech is a top 25 team.
Yeah, and I agree with that. I think they definitely are. But I would say, just looking at last night, the Vols made the Vols struggle a little bit. And you couldn't get a shot. You couldn't make any shots. I mean, hell, he scored 19 points in the second half, only 25 in the first. And then when you do force overtime, they didn't necessarily run away with it, but you couldn't get anything going in overtime. Your shooting woes didn't get better when overtime came around, after you had that last glimmer of hope with Vescovi hitting that big three.
But, I mean, don't get me wrong. Like, I'm sad today. I'm sad this morning. That doesn't mean, like, I'm worried about this team at all. I'm not really worried. I think people have to understand a little bit more the volatile nature of college basketball, especially in early December. I mean, that's not necessarily an excuse. You should win this game. We're upset that we didn't, but you just look at December college basketball, and I mean, you can have a Cincinnati team beat Illinois by, you know, nearly 20, and then turn around and survive Miami of Ohio on a buzzer beater. You can have Gonzaga, you know, skate past Tarleton State by 8 points. You can have Florida Southern lose to a winless like Texas Southern. Like, college basketball, especially in this time of the year, is just a random crazy sport. I mean, crazy stuff happens, results that don't make sense happens, and you know, the biggest thing is, unless you're one of the elite teams, which we are not, then, you know, there's 2, 3, 4 of those this year. And even then, some of them have struggled at times this year. But, you know, unless you're one of those elite teams, like, you're just going to have some games that you lose. And the goal is to lose as few as you can. But you're going to have losses.
No, it was a tough one to watch. 865-546-8200. 546-8200. We're just getting up and running here in the White Claw Hard Seltzer Studios. On the other side, let's go ahead and look at the box score. Break it all down. Let's go through this together. We can help each other, give each other some therapy on this hump day. Charlie, more of the Blitz on the other side. Well, GP3, don't bring the positivity in here.
We're going to be just fine.
I think so.
I don't. I really don't.
Here's the thing. You're about to disagree with me. We're going to probably argue about this, but the offense, to me, looks a lot better than it did a year ago. Yeah. And I will say, even last night, it looks a lot better than it did a year ago. And you're going to ask me, and you're going to, you heard that, and you're going to say, Charlie, what on earth are you talking about? You know, we barely scored 50 points last night, and it took overtime to do it. Or how could you possibly say that? And, you know, all the way up until the point where we are shooting the shot, I think that we are running the offense better. I think we are running it with more intent. I think it looks better, obviously, just with having Kennedy Chandler be able to be that guard for you, too. And the emphasis on the three-point shots and, you know, either that or trying to get shots at the rim has been noticeable. It has been better. And it's overall been pleasing. But the fact of the matter is when you're going to run that offense, you have to understand that if you have a night where you can't shoot a three, I mean, you have crippled yourself. You know, if you're going to shoot, what, 6 of 40 from the three-point line, that shuts down your offense. Because what happened last night, it was probably one of the worst times to have that cold of a night from 3-2, given what Texas Tech has defensively. You know, they are a team with a whole lot of athleticism and length defensively. You know, they can get in those passing lanes, they can close out on shots, but they can, you know, really just block a lot of shots and be physical with you. That's what we saw. But, you know, you mentioned how they took away shots around the rim and, you know, being able to drive the basketball. I would argue that that was, you know, there at first, and Tennessee took that away from themselves.
They weren't attacking
late. Because, no, well, not that, but as you continued to miss threes and continued to miss threes, that allowed Texas Tech to be uber aggressive on their help defense because they trusted us to continue to miss shots. And as soon as Texas Tech started to get pretty aggressive on help defense and cut off these drives, then it all just became, you know, kick out threes and floaters and things of that nature that just weren't the best shots in that situation. And, you know, as we continued to miss shots, as it continued to go along further and further, the more and more aggressive that those Texas Tech guys got playing help defense. And, you know, especially then when you have some smaller guards on the floor like Ziegler and like Kennedy Chandler. Yeah.
McCullers and Shannon were having a field day with that. And like you said, they were able to be more aggressive when
As soon as they can be more aggressive against those smaller guards,
yeah.
I mean, then you're really in trouble. And, you know, they were able to kind of fall back on the little dump off too. You know, there were times that Fulkerson would try to fade to the basket or whoever else was in would try to fade to the basket. And, you know, they would fall off. They would have another man fall off the guy on the perimeter to be able to pick up that little fade to the basket as well. And yeah, all that is eliminated if you just shoot 20% from three, 25% from three.
I mean, neither team shot
and
great.
If you just shoot 25% from three, that opens up the entire offense. Then you win this game by 20 points, and you talk about, oh my gosh, what an elite defense Tennessee has.
Yeah.
That would be the conversation.
And I would argue, like, as where I'm taking away from Tennessee saying, you know, like, couldn't hit any shots, and at points in the game, they look stagnant. You know, they kind of going back to, you know, not the fundamentals that we know a Rick Barnes team is looking for. Like, you know, just standing around, not moving. Later in the game, you saw they tried to work the back screens, and they got lucky with Vescovi hitting the big three. But it was a lot of, I mean, yeah, misses from John Fulkerson on the block where he was in a lot of fadeaways. He couldn't get to go down. And then you had a lot of misses, too, just guys not finishing when they were able to get to the rim. All around, both teams shot awful. And I'm with Charlie. If you shoot like 25% from three, you shot 15%, by the way. They shot 16% from three. If you shoot about 25-30%, you win that game easy. Texas Tech only shot 31% from the field. But then Tennessee, you were 19 of 71 for 26% from the field. And like Charlie said, 6 for 40 from behind the arc, where your offense is predicated on now. You know, you shoot more threes. We talked about it yesterday. Tennessee went from shooting, I think it was 30% of their shots last year were threes to 35% this year.
I mean, be careful what you wish for. We asked, you know, we wanted a modern offense that shot a bunch of threes. Well, hey, you got that, but we didn't make them, and this is what happens when you don't make them.
But as you were saying, too, I would also argue that in the first half and throughout the game, you still saw a lot of positive things. I thought John Fulkerson, man, he was hustling. He had a lot of key blocks early and in the second half, and big blocks, too, late in the game. He had 5 blocks total. Kumwa had a couple blocks, too, and they were being aggressive on defense, and really they didn't give up. The team just couldn't hit a shot. Not any point in the game did I think the guys gave up, though. I will say that.
Well, yeah, I mean, they play really hard, yeah, obviously. And, you know, I don't think they'll be discouraged from last night. I think that, you know, either way, that's a great opportunity, a game like that early in the season with a really physical team, with a really experienced team. You know, you hate that you have to learn from a loss rather than a win, but you can still learn a lot from that game. And, you know, hopefully Rick Barnes can do a little bit of self-scouting and learn as a coach a little bit as well. You know, it's something that Billy Stats said last night on Twitter that I kind of do agree with. You know, my gripe still with the offense would be that it seems like they don't, you know, run enough plays with the intent to get their best players the ball in certain situations. Like, they just run their offense to be their offense, not necessarily run their offense for, you know, so-and-so player to get a look here, so-and-so player to get a look there.
Well, from the body language from Barnes on the sideline, it looked like he was pretty pissed off a couple of times at Kenny Chandler, wanting him, I think, to take some shots or to go out there and get a bucket.
I mean, just in general, though, last night, if you want something positive to take away, that defense travels. You know, that defense will be there. And I think I trust that defense to play well the majority of the season. And you know, that is one thing that if you're going to have this offense where you shoot a bunch of threes and everything else, you know, when you have cold shooting nights, I think the defense proved that they are good enough to be able to still keep you in it. You know, obviously you can't have as cold of a shooting night as you did last night, but, you know, even if you have a night where, you know, hey, things aren't really falling, but we're working some points together, you know, Tennessee can make a game ugly and win a low-scoring game with that defense. In fact, per Ken Pomeroy, the KenPom ratings, it is the number one defense in the country per 100 possessions right now.
I mean, how much of last night's defensive performance was just on Texas Tech missing open shots? They were missing open shots just like we were. I mean, I think the defense played well last night, but I think it's being completely overblown that they're an elite defense. There were countless times where we gave up an open look, and they just missed it.
Well, I think that
The post defense is good. I think that's one spot where we're shining right now is our post defense. But perimeter defense is not good at all.
I thought our perimeter defense was pretty good, especially when you looked at their lineup and what they didn't start a guy less than 6'5".
6'4".
Okay, less than 6'4", and they had a bunch, you know, just long wings out there. I thought they played pretty good defense. I'm gonna stay positive about the defense.
I agree. I thought they played good defense.
The numbers are there. You just couldn't hit a shot. I mean, you can't hit a shot. You can look at Texas Tech. You say, well, they missed some shots. They got some open looks. Tennessee also still held them to what you would want if you're Rick Barnes. You held them to 16% from three.
My gripe's not with the defense. I'm just saying I think it's not as great of a performance as it looks on paper, I guess, what I'm saying. But my gripe isn't with the defense. I think the defense played as well as they could have.
Couldn't you say that about really any defensive performance in any situation in any sport?
I mean, if you try to spin it that way, sure.
Yeah, that's exactly what I mean. You could always try to spin it on the offense.
But like I said, my issue is not with the defense. My issue is that our offense is so one-dimensional. Once you figure out how to take away Kennedy Chandler, the book's out. Barnes doesn't know how to run an offense that'll get anybody else open. It's give the ball to your best player, let him go to work. If you got him figured out, he's figured out. We had this problem in the last game, too. Nobody was helping him. Chandler had to go for 30 points in order to secure that win. I mean, Powell hit one big three down the stretch that was able to – or maybe it was Powell. Somebody hit one big three down the stretch. But we have no post presence on the offensive side.
Fulkerson had 10 points in the post.
10 points is
– and 10 boards.
Not 10 points is not good for what we're asking from him.
Yeah, it is.
No, it's not.
Yes, in the college game –
he went 4 of 10 with, like, 6 missed layups and then 2 of 4 from the free throw line.
If you can get,
he was
you can
timid all night.
Get double digits from in the post in
you're
the,
not
the
consistently
level.
Getting double digits from him though. That's the thing.
I mean, you get right around it pretty much every night.
And like I said, he went 4 of 10, shot 40%. That's not good for a big man. And he was so timid. He would have one-on-one opportunities down low off the block, and he would look to pass out. He didn't want to attack.
Again, that goes back to them being able to pack the paint in because we couldn't hit a shot.
Yeah. No, I'm talking about like, in situations where it was him versus one other person, where Kennedy Chandler got him open in the...
But when it was him versus one other person, if he spins off that left shoulder back to the middle, all of a sudden there's someone there that's dropping down.
I was going to say, they did a good job of helping defense on the
block. If he spins back out to that out shoulder, there's someone else there that can drop down. Like, he got one-on-ones, but they weren't traditional one-on-one situations. And, you know, he was playing against some really good post defenders that were taller than him.
And very athletic. I would argue, I do agree with you about Ferguson has been inconsistent at times. I think that's him, like, it's still kind of early in the season. You know, he came in late with the injury. So I think he's still working himself into, like, you know, playing with these new guys, playing with Kenny Chandler and some of the other guys. But I do think he did a pretty damn good job, especially with the athleticism and length he faced. 10 points, 10 rebounds, 5 blocks. I don't have any problem with really what he did. Now, I talked about it earlier. He missed some layups and some things, some finishing that maybe he could have made. But I'm with Charlie also. They did a damn good job of help defense. And whenever he caught the ball on the block, there was somebody there. He couldn't do his normal spinner or his up and under shot that he likes to go to. They did a good job.
He averages 9 points a game this season, too. And, you know, throughout his career, he's averaged more than that. So to say that he can't consistently give you 10 points, I mean, he can.
I'm just what we're asking from him. He is not being able to produce what we need.
I think we're getting what we need. Is 10-10 not good enough?
That's
for
the
him?
First time he's done it all season, Charlie.
He's also been hurt and
no, he hasn't. He's been fine this season.
No, I mean to start he was also hurt to start the season. What I'm saying, and has since you know, kind of eased his way in. But that's not the first time he's done that. He had 10 against Colorado. He had 14 against Tennessee Tech. He had 13 against UNC. Like. You know, he sure had two bad games to start against ETSU and Villanova, but
no, there is something efficient in those that games. I would elaborate, and we'll do it on the other side of what you talked about. I do wonder about Rick Barnes's. I saw an article over at 247, his backup plan. What is he going to do when teams do focus on Kennedy Chandler, as they did, and if they're able to shut him down? Because I do think there might be a problem there. But I do think a lot of it last night, man, was just you couldn't hit a shot. But hey, on the other side, we'll talk about that, ask the big question. But right now, we're kicking it off. We're live in the White Claw Hard Seltzer Studios. Cheer on the Big Orange this Saturday. It'll take on UNC Greensboro. Get a chance to, you know, get that bad taste out of your mouth from last night. But cheer on the Big Orange White Claw Hard Seltzer, crafted with quality ingredients. White Claw Hard Seltzer, made from a blend of seltzer water, a gluten-free alcohol base, you believe that? And a hint of fruit flavor. Just 100 calories, 1 gram of sugar, but 5% alcohol still packs a punch. And now available in 16, that's right, 16 deliciously refreshing flavors. As always, please drink responsibly. On the other side, we tend to talk about the Vols and the Red Raiders last night in Madison Square Garden. Welcome back to the Blitz. Talking a little Tennessee basketball. Very fitting. But before we move right along, I need to tell you that hour number one brought to you by our friends over at the FanDuel Sportsbook. A lot of talk about the NFL lately. That's because the NFL playoffs are almost here. And to help you stay on top of the action, FanDuel Sportsbook is giving you a $10 bonus when you place $20 in same-game parlay bets. Bet on a single game or spread your bets out across multiple matchups. It's up to you, as long as you bet $20 in same-game parlays during the same week of NFL action. You're getting a $10 bonus. And that sounds damn good, does it not, guys? Does it not? I know I like
sounds
it.
Sounds pretty good.
I
love free money. I got the $10 bonus last night because I put on my same game parlay for NBA on TNT Tuesdays. That's right. But you can jump on the action this weekend. Maybe you want to jump in on the game tomorrow. It'll be Steelers versus Vikings for Thursday Night Football. Good games this weekend. Ravens-Browns, that'll be a good game. Raiders-Chiefs, another division matchup. Hell, you might even want to bet on the Jaguars and the Titans. With so many options, you can bet on a single gamer spread. And it's easy to use. It's safe and secure. It's America's number one sports book, and we love them because of the fast payouts. They pay you in as little as 2 hours. Now they accept Venmo. This same game parlay bonus, though, is live only during weeks 13, Weeks 14 and week 15. So lock in some winners today and enjoy a $10 bonus on FanDuel. If you're new to FanDuel Sportsbook, sign up using promo code BLITZ. to get 30-1 odds on either team to win in the Browns versus Ravens rematch on Sunday. You can win $150 on just a $5 bet. That's promo code Blitz exclusively on the FanDuel Sportsbook app. As always, you must be 21 or older and present in Tennessee. Bonus issued is non-withdrawable site credit that expires in 7 days. Max bonus of $10. Restrictions do apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call Tennessee Redline 1-800-889-9789. So, before we went to break, I want to talk about what Tennessee's going to do as far as a backup plan. But, GP3, I want to start with you. You said you do feel like that this team's in trouble. I need you to elaborate more on that. It's early in the season. Tennessee's just 6-2. You're a top 15 team. Yes, that was a tough loss last night aesthetically, and you couldn't get the ball in the hoop. But explain to all of us here why you think the Vols are in trouble.
Well, first, we're no longer a top 15 team, so okay. That's out. But,
okay, no, top 20.
Top 20 team.
I mean, according to the AP poll, which you just agreed was nonsensical.
I mean, you can look at KenPom or the net rankings, too.
Well, I think Texas Tech is a pretty good team. They're not going to drop that far.
Texas Tech is a good team.
That's what I'm saying.
I just don't think either team is really all that great, including Tennessee.
We'll start with Tennessee. You need to tell me more on that one.
I mean, we've played, 10 games now, roughly, about 10 games? We've looked bad
eight
in half
games.
Of them. Okay, we played eight. All right, we've looked bad in half of them, including some of the ones that we've won. It's just a very one-dimensional, and when I say that, it's give the ball to Kennedy Chandler, let him create space, and do with it what you want. And once teams have figured out how to guard Chandler, it's over. I mean, we saw that last night. I mean, he was able to create space, sure, but he doesn't have anybody to help him. I don't know how many times we've seen this, him kick the ball out. We saw this in Colorado. We only made 6 threes when we played Colorado, too. Nobody was able to hit a shot. Outside of Chandler and then sometimes Fulkerson, there's nobody I trust with the ball. Maybe Vescovi sometimes.
I mean, Vescovi's averaging almost the same point total as Kennedy Chandler.
Yeah, but he's very streaky, too. That's what I'm saying. Like, Vescovi,
Bob.
Sometimes Fulkerson and then Chandler. Those are only three I can trust, and we can't even keep Vescovi on the court because he keeps picking up too early fouls.
I mean, the other thing about the college level is that, I mean,
and Barnes doesn't trust him to play with two fouls, which, I mean, at some point you have to trust your guys. Same thing with pulling Kennedy Chandler off the court with 6 minutes left when he picked up his fourth. He's your best player. You got to keep him out there.
Well, to address your first point about the offense just being Kennedy Chandler creating space, and I mean, that's not the offense. If you look if you just watch the games, like there are down screens, there are back screens, there is a motion offense happening. There is a lot of movement away from the ball and a lot
obviously.
Of ball movement. Like, you know, that's, I mean, yeah, Kennedy Chandler is going to be your primary ball carrier because he's your point guard, but you can the offense operates without him as well. He's just your best player. Like, that's what it's like for a lot of college teams, yeah.
I mean, the offense operate without him, though. He played over 40 minutes last night because they needed him to, and he played 36 minutes, didn't come out at all in the second half against Colorado, because without him in the game, the offense is non-existent.
The offense can still operate without him, first of all, but that's, again, at the college level, that's what a lot of teams are like.
Yeah, it's not normal. Yeah, it's
like their best player for most college teams does play mostly the entire game. And, you know, the best player at most college teams, if you can take him away, yes.
I'm not complaining about him playing. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying that he has to be in there. You're saying it can run without him. I'm saying it can't. That's what I'm saying. That's why he's playing so much. I'm not complaining about him playing. We need him to play.
But again, if you go to like most college teams in the country and you have a defensive game where you take away their best player, well, yeah, they're going to look bad. To address your second point, you know, you said outside of Chandler, Vescovi, and John Fulkerson.
Sometimes Fulkerson.
You don't have, I mean, yes, Fulkerson, because he gets you nearly 10 points a game. So I'll just go ahead and include Fulkerson for you.
Shooting 40% from your, you know,
it's
your not center, a terrible,
is not a terrible percentage.
It is terrible.
I mean, 40% on a night like last night is not a bad percentage.
And then 50% from the free throw line. Yes, it's not good. You can look at the box score and say, oh, he did really good. I watched that game, and I watched how many times he passed out of wide open opportunities. He did not have a good game last night on the offensive side.
I disagree. But furthermore, anyway, you can include Fulkerson with Chandler and Vescovi as guys that you can count on every night offensively. or in just in general. Okay, so you have three guys that you can count on, and you know you want more is what you're saying. You want there to be, you don't know if you can trust anyone else. But the fact of the matter is, again, when you look at pretty much every college team, at the college level, teams aren't deep to the point where they have four or five, six guys that they can trust to score any given night, that they can trust to be that guy that you put in their hands and they go get a bucket. That's just not the college game.
Sure. So you have a coach that draws up an offense that...
But what you do have is eight other players, nine other players, you know, outside of eight, you know, seven or eight other players outside of those three that you put on the floor every night, and you know some combination of those guys is going to give you enough pretty much every night. And you have the depth. Like, you just don't have – sure, you don't have a fourth guy to go, you know, average double digits or anything like that. And
I don't think we have a fourth guy at all that I would trust to take a shot when you have Triple J shooting one of
– I mean,
Triple J shooting one of eight.
You don't trust Justin Powell? Yeah, okay.
Justin Powell.
I do not trust Justin Powell.
I don't trust Justin Powell. He went 0 of 3 last night, two open – wide open looks that would have given us a lead late in the game. He played, what, 8 minutes last night?
You're just severely overreacting to a poor shooting night right now.
No, this has been the theme the entire season. We've just benefited from playing bad teams.
I don't know if I agree with that.
I mean, Powell had the one good game where he went 5 of 5, and since then he's hit 1-3 on like
15 attempts. What is it that you want? So
I want consistency.
Last year we had this mid-range offense. We had this ugly, you know, not unmodern offense, and it was clunky, and I hated it. I despised it, and everyone called for a change. Now we get an offense that is, you know, it still needs work. I agree with that, but it you know, you're attacking the paint, you're shooting threes, you're taking better shots.
Still getting transition
from an analytics perspective, and yeah, you're still getting transition too. You have a bad shooting night, and now it's time, you know, to panic again. What do you want?
This is the second game in a row we've had a bad shooting night. I don't even know the box
score. And you still won one of them because your defense is good enough.
Because you played a bad team. That's why. You've benefited from playing bad teams. We played two good teams so far, I guess you can say, and Texas Tech and Villanova, and got
what about UNC?
Embarrassed in both of them. UNC is not a good team. They're not even ranked anymore.
There are more than 25 good teams in college basketball.
Okay, but I don't think North Carolina's any good either. I mean, they look terrible on the floor. I mean, I don't watch a ton of their, you know, ton of their games, but.
I thought they've been doing better just because I have a friend who's a big North Carolina fan. I feel like he's been posting a lot that they've been winning. I don't know. I'm not going to say I've been watching
like
North Carolina basketball.
I mean, I don't follow North Carolina basketball too.
I would say that you
they're
guys,
6-2, and their losses
you can't,
are Tennessee.
You can't look at record this
Purdue.
Early in the season.
The number one team in the country.
Yeah,
the
number one team in the country and us. And let's see. They beat
Michigan.
Michigan by 20. 21. They beat Georgia Tech, who won the ACC last year, by 19.
17, but
17. Math is hard for me.
I know.
They have a nice road win at Charleston.
Pulling out that Georgia Tech won the ACC last year has no bearing on what happens this year. That was last year's season in the ACC was a complete fluke.
That's true.
It was, and they won it. They won in the tournament too, didn't they?
You're right.
But they only lost by 9 to Purdue. I would say that. We can talk about that. I think both of you guys are making good points. I do think you're overreacting a little bit, GP3. I would say that. I agree with Charlie, like, man, and that's some of the reason why sometimes I don't like watching college basketball, because you do only have, generally, it's one or two guys on each team that night who can be the guy. And then it's a bunch of other guys who are playing their role and might have a streaky hot night, or they just might get 5 and 6, or be like a Triple J and just do some little things behind the scenes. And I'd argue Triple J, yes, we haven't seen him come in and be the five-star prospect that we thought he was whenever he got recruited, but he does all the little things, and nobody can deny that. He is a guy that does a lot of work out there, and he hit a damn big three last night, too. I mean, like, he still got to hit that three, and it was just a sloppy game. It was a bad shooting performance game. That's what I'm going to take away from it. I don't think the team's is any worse or any better. I just think they had an awful shooting night. Ryan, what are your thoughts? We've been all talking about it. I want to hear
what
you think.
Yeah, Ryan, I'm sorry.
Yeah, I mean, you guys are just jumping on a pedestal, but I'm really disappointed in this team. They're really a lot lower down, at least for my predictions, because just a while ago we were talking about the floor being Sweet 16 and being optimistic. I cannot agree with that one. I think we just don't have the...
I never thought the floor was Sweet 16. I've always said the floor is first round.
Yeah, that's a lot more. I was agreeing with Chance.
I said Sweet 16 too,
but you can't win with Josiah Jordan James, going 1-for-8 shooting. Like, you know what I mean? Like, then, these guys, the people who are shooting.
The missed dunk opportunity he had, too. I know he slightly hyperextended his knee, but that's a play you got to make.
Like, the floor was wet.
Yeah, that did. Like, that did look a little iffy.
I don't know about that.
Like, I mean, that's just like. Yeah, that is a freak play.
Yeah, like he could have tore his ACL or something
that. I'm just glad. I'm glad honestly, he wasn't hurt. I was just glad he got up.
Yeah, me too. I was glad he wasn't hurt on that.
Pretty much everything that I have to say boils down to this one point. I don't think we have the right personnel to run the offense that Rick Barnes is trying to do. I don't think that we have the consistency on shooting because when we actually play a good defense, like a couple of these boys, you know, like Texas Tech, like Villanova. It's not going down. So if you take them out,
y'all.
That's why I said that if it's a good defense, you can't make the shots. Like, they're going to push you to the outside because you know they know that you're very spotty and you're not consistent enough from back there.
Here's the thing I would argue. I would say that I think Villanova can do that to a lot of teams in the country, not just it's not like Tennessee.
Can Texas Tech do that to a lot of teams in the country?
They are a big and long team, man. They're probably going to
finish, I would say, top 4 in the Big 12.
Like, I think what it all boils down to is we have such high expectations. That game was so disappointing to watch because of you couldn't hit a basket. And then because you lose to Texas Tech. But I think that Texas Tech team was very damn good.
Texas Tech did not do that to Tennessee last night, though. That's where you're mistaken. Tennessee did that to Tennessee.
Very true.
Tennessee got the looks they wanted from three. If you hit those early, Texas Tech can't start, you know, again, being it all started with a help defense, because of their length, because of their athleticism. I mean, that was just it was brutal, and it was all because they didn't respect your shooting. They felt that you know they can just close out, get a hand in, that's close enough. Tennessee's not shooting the ball well. Tennessee makes those shots, the entire offense is opened up. You beat Texas Tech by double digits, and we talk about how elite our defense is and how great of a game it was. Yippee! Now, there are still two pretty concerning points from the early season. I do agree. Like I am a little concerned. I'm not super worried, but I am a little concerned that the inconsistency shooting the ball have been there too often, and you know a game last night where you got out rebounded as bad as you did is definitely something that's frustrating because you're not getting enough from other guys like Hatfield Huntley right now and you know some of your younger posts. But those aren't reasons to panic yet. You know it's. Are we a team that had a cold shooting night, or are we just a poor shooting team? That's, I guess, what we will still kind of figure out down the road. If we continue to shoot the ball poorly, and it's January, and we're having games like this, then yes, it's time to worry. You're not a good team. You can't shoot the ball well. But until then, until we get more games, we don't know if it was a bad shooting night or if we're a bad shooting team.
Is 32% from three when you're a team that's built around the three-pointer considered good?
I would take 32% every night.
Yeah.
You would?
I would.
Okay, because that's included with the games that we've had 45 and including the games right now that we've had 16. At least with the way that I see this offense being built and the way that it's trying to be moved through Candy Chandler and Vescovy and all these boys, that number needs to be a little bit higher for me to feel more secure about the way that we're currently running the offense.
Hey, got us fired up here in the White Claw Hard Seltzer Studios. Tennessee basketball does something to us. On the other side, we'll wrap up hour number one. Keep it locked here for more Fan Run Radio. Welcome back to the Blitz, live here in the White Claw Hard Seltzer Studios. Apparently, GP3, you've incited some people. You got a little people fired up. DC Coltrane said, your co-host seems new to basketball. They will get better. Hashtag, he has a football mentality.
I've been watching basketball a long time.
I believe you.
I don't watch the NBA a whole lot, but I've watched college basketball.
See, and I watch the NBA more because I get so pissed off at college basketball. I'm like, you gotta be better.
Me too.
You gotta
be better. Exactly.
You gotta be better.
That's exactly what I view.
I watch probably like 5 hours of college basketball a night when I'm not working.
Oh yeah, I know you do. I love college basketball.
I am addicted to college
don't
basketball.
Don't get it twisted. I don't like college basketball. But where it pisses you off of not seeing the Vols hitting shots, that makes me mad when I'm watching all of college basketball at a macro level. Because I'm like, man, they got to make these easy shots that you see NBA players make all the time. But that's why they're getting paid for it. And I guess why these guys are not getting paid as much. But GP3, you said you had another point to add to the argument there.
Yeah,
so go ahead.
I want to see if you guys agree with me on this. Now, as bad as Tennessee played yesterday, as poorly as they shot from the field, as bad as they were from the free throw line, I think if the officials call a fair game, Tennessee wins it. And before you can say, oh, well, no, this loss is squarely on Tennessee, sure it is, but why can't both be true? The goaltending call was absolute BS. And that was in a critical spot during the game. That was right after Triple J missed his dunk layup. They came back down. He just bricked the dunk attempt, and they called a goaltending there. There was another play right around that same time frame where Triple J got a rebound, then gets assaulted underneath the rim, yeah. and then they just called it a jump ball.
I do feel like, personally, later in the game, there was a couple instances where I was like, I mean, you just called that for Texas Tech. You're not calling it for the Vols. And people might say to me, look at the Vols, team fouls. It was 22-12. So they got 10 more fouls called.
I mean, they were in the double bonus before we even got to four fouls.
I think it was like almost 2 minutes left when they were in the double bonus. Or they just got into the bonus at 1-1. Yeah, there were some points in the game where I was that guy that was yelling at the refs like, come on, you just called it on the other end. I did that a couple times.
You know, like there was maybe once or twice where I was like, oh, come on.
I did a couple
times.
But
like generally I wasn't really all that mad last night at the officiating. Yes, I agree that there were bad calls, the ones that you just directly pointed out.
Well, I mean, you had another a really bad call, charge call on Chandler when he –
You did.
Should have had the and one.
I mean, there were bad calls last night. That's true.
Pat Adams, I think.
I also just generally believe that in athletics, especially in college athletics, no matter what team you're rooting for and no matter what game you're watching, you can always go back and find instances that changed the game with officiating where you know that directly did not benefit your team.
I think the goaltending call is just brutal. I mean, it awarded them 2 points.
Yeah, you're not wrong.
During a nine-minute stretch when neither team could score.
You're not wrong, but it is what it is. Like, that's officiating at every game, especially in college athletics. And both teams in most games can find some sort of gripe with officials. And human error is just another element of the game, unfortunately. Or fortunately, whatever you like, you know?
All I'm saying is I think if it's called fair down the middle, then Tennessee wins. That's all I'm saying. And that's not an excuse because Tennessee had an opportunity to win it regardless. I'm just adding to it. I think both can be true.
Hey, both can be true. 865-546-8200. 546-8200. That's our number if you want to hop on those G3 Help Me hotlines. We got a great show today. Really got the debate going back and forth. Hour number one, though, now in the books. Hour number two is on deck. Keep it locked here for more of the Blitz.